Welcome to Lakeside Church's Message Podcast.
Our prayer is that you fall in love with Jesus, find a church family,
live in freedom,
and be active in your purpose.
Let's join the message already in progress.
All right, let's turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to go into that. We got some more stuff to share later, but right now, 1 Kings chapter 8, and I want to give you a little bit of background. So we're talking about prayer, all right? Why? Because next week starts prayer at what time? 10 o'clock. So if you can get here at 10 o'clock, and in fact, why don't you make it like 9:58? That way you can put your stuff down, grab a cup of coffee, and be ready to pray by 10 o'clock. We want to pray by 10 o'clock. We've covered a few different stories of prayer. We covered Colossians and how they were praying to walk worthy of the Lord. We covered Elisha, how he asked for his servant to have his eyes opened. He said, God, open his eyes, and the importance of praying that way. Last week, we covered Daniel and the way he kind of took the sin of the nation, and he prayed for the nation, and he used a lot of we language, and he brought that to God, and he dug into the word, and now we're talking about another person. This is going to be Solomon. So let me give you the whole story, or it's not going to make sense. So God gave Abraham, you got to understand the whole story, or it's not going to make sense. God gave Abraham a promise. He said, come follow me, and I'll make you a blessing of all nations. He gave Abraham a very special promise that was ultimately to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he came, and, you know, about AD 0, all right, right around 0, he came and he brought the good news of Jesus. But to go from Abraham all the way to Jesus, there were some internal steps, and one of them was there had to be a nation. There had to be a temple, right, for Jesus to go in and clean out. There had to be a sacrificial system for Jesus to point to. There had to be all this stuff, and so God brought kings. Solomon is the third king of Israel. The first king blew it. He messed up. David kind of set the kingdom up well. He defeated a lot of enemies. And now Solomon, when he becomes king, the nation is going into its high point. So if you go into the Bible and you read anything about Solomon, it's kind of like the best that Israel ever was. They were financially successful. They had peace from their enemies. They had a brand new temple that they just built for God, that they're actually going to wind up putting the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, well, that wasn't just a movie. That was something that Moses had built, and it had the Ten Commandments in there, and they place it in the temple. And so this prayer is Solomon blessing the temple. Blessing the temple, establishing the temple. And we're going to pull out a few things. I won't read the whole chapter 8, but I encourage you to read it today, to go and read the whole chapter on your own. But in verse 1, it says, "And Solomon assembled all the elders before King Solomon in Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is in the seventh month." So Solomon calls everybody together. They're dedicating a temple. All right? They're dedicating this place. And you got to know what the temple was. It was the place where man could come and bring their offerings and have their sins forgiven. It was the place where the priests were, and they would minister unto the people, teaching the law, teaching truth. And so it's a really big deal. It's the center of their religious life. Like, it is huge. And Solomon is bringing it up. If you read, and we're going to skip down a little bit, verse 6, it says, "The priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, the most holy place." So they're bringing in this Ark. Now, the Ark was symbolic, and it represented God's presence being with the people. And now it was like in this temple. It was supposed to be this place where heaven and earth could kind of touch, where God's presence would be there, but people could also come. But the thing about the temple is you could only come so far. Like, you could only come into the courts and maybe into the holy place, but not the most holy place where God's presence was. And Solomon is setting this up. Verse 12, "Then Solomon said, The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness, and I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel stood. So thousands and thousands, maybe even 100,000 people. I don't know how many people they brought together, but it was a big nation, and there were thousands of people there. And Solomon, verse 5, fulfilled, blessed them, promised with his mouth to David, my father, saying, since the day I brought up my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city to dwell in which to build a house, that my name will be there. But I chose David to be the king over my own people. Let me try to explain this. Solomon, starting off this time of prayer, and the reason I wanted to show this is there's a few things that are just jumped out to me as I was reading through. But where he talks about, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised, there's two things in that verse. One is this idea of praise. Now, why do I say praise is important? And when I say praise, I'm not just talking about like music, but I'm talking about praise that comes out of your heart, something that your heart lifts up God. You speak of his wonders. Praise is important for prayer because oftentimes praise builds our faith. When you start remembering who God is and you start to praise him, your faith kind of gets built up. And then he says something else. He says, blessed be the Lord, so that's kind of praise. But then he talks about he fulfilled what he promised. In verse 15, it says he fulfilled what he promised. So praise kind of brings up our faith, but also an important thing when we pray is remembering the promises of God. I can't remember who said it, but I was reading time, and he was talking from the early church's time, and he said something along the lines of, when the Christians go to pray, they recount the miracles of Jesus, and then they ask God to do something today. What I think is so good about that is when you praise God or when you remember his promises, your faith is getting built up. And so I want you to picture the early church, and all of a sudden Jesus is gone, and their savior, their leader, their teacher, their master is gone, and now they're put in a position where they have to go and do what he said. Faith just feel really low. I remember one time this lady came up for prayer, and I was like assisting the gentleman praying, kind of just like holding his water bottle and being around, and the lady was like, well, my husband left me, and my kids don't want to talk to me, and my dog died, and I got fired, and now I got cancer. And like, she listed about 15 different things. And I was like, I'm glad I don't got to pray for her. Because that was like a lot of real issues. But if you remember that there are real promises, you can pray, and you can start off a prayer, even when your faith is low, saying, God, I thank you that you're the creator of the universe. I thank you that you are in charge of everything, that Jesus is the King of Kings. And Jesus, you healed people in the past. You can heal this situation now. Jesus, you did miracles in the past. Like maybe you're praying for a financial blessing. Well, you could say, God, I remember you fed thousands with a few loaves and a few fish. So God, if you could do that, please work in this situation. So if you have a good amount of praise and a good amount of remembering the promises of God, I think that's a good way to start your prayers. What is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, starting with praise, because it helps build our faith. So Solomon, he keeps praying, but I want to flip down to chapter 20 or verse 22, and I want you to see another piece. And it's real simple. But it says, and then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands towards heaven. So I talked about praise. I talked about remembering God's promise. This third one is posture. Because I know prayer is a spiritual exercise, but look at these two words. It says he was standing, and it says that his arms were spread out to heaven. Your posture, what you're doing with your body, it matters if your faith is not, you know, alive unless it has works. Your posture when you pray is important. And what do I mean by that? Your posture should match the prayer. For instance, if my little girl had cancer, thank God she doesn't. If any of my kids had something seriously wrong, when I prayed, I think I'm going to be on my knees. I'm not going to just be like standing there saying like, God, you know, it'd be great if you heard my daughter from cancer. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to say a prayer like that. Like, why? Because my whole being is going to be upset my whole life. And I was trying to think, like, if one of my kids was sick, I don't think I would stand. In fact, I might even, and you'll notice if you watch me pray sometimes, I often get down on my face. The reason I do that is it doesn't make me more holy, but your posture matters. And so sometimes we try to enter into prayer, but we don't realize like what we're doing with our body matters. Maybe we should try standing up like Solomon. Maybe some of us should try like raising our hands like Solomon. Maybe some of us, and what's interesting, if you look in verse 22, it talks about how he started the prayer. He was standing and his arms were spread out towards heaven. And then if you look at verse 54, flip, we're going to skip the prayer, but I want you to see verse 54 so you can see this. Chapter 8, verse 54, it says, when Solomon finished offering the prayer and his plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar where he had knelt with his outstretched hands towards heaven. You got to find something to do bodies. So I would recommend maybe trying to kneel. Like, most of us don't do that. Most Christians that I know that pray don't bend their knee. And I'm not saying you have to bend your knee every single time and that God can't hear you when you're driving your car and praying, or that you always have to like get super uncomfortable to pray. If kneeling down is not going to help you, don't do it. If you've got a blown out knee and kneeling down is just going to make it hard for you to pray, like, don't do that. But there are some times that your posture should probably match the prayer. And for me, the more desperate I get for the Lord, the lower I get physically. And that's not even something like I'm trying to do. I'm not saying, man, if I kneel down, God's definitely going to have to answer me. That's not what I'm saying. But when I'm desperate and I'm humble, my body begins to match that. Or maybe you're saying a prayer and you're full of energy and excitement, and maybe you just stand up and say, God, I know you are real. And if you think about like the raising of the hands, that's like a surrendering thing. So if you see me or some people raise hands during worship, if I'm raising my hands, I'm just kind of telling the Lord, like, God, I surrender. But what you do with your body matters. So we have praise, we have posture, we have the promises of God. Now I want you to look, let's go to verse 28. And you go back and read this whole prayer, but I'm pulling things out. Verse 28 says, yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and the prayer of your servant before and day toward the house, that your, verse 29, that your eyes may be open night and day toward the house, the place where you said, my name shall be there. See, we don't pray towards a temple, because the New Testament talks about us being the temple. But the idea that God's eyes are always open, his ears are always open, and he's always hearing us. And then if you go down a little bit to 31, it talks about if a man sins against you, and then there's going to be mercy. If we skip down a little bit more, verse 38, it says, whatever plea is made by a man or by all your people, each knowing the affliction of his own heart, stretching out his hands towards this house. See, prayer, like real powerful prayer, comes often out of an affliction of your heart. See, your prayers, something happens when your heart is behind them. And what I'm talking about is, like, it's one thing to say, God, I pray for the people in Lexington to come to know you. There's at least 135,000 people in this city, county area that don't know you. But if you were afflicted, like if your soul literally hurt, that you're, or if you're praying for someone who is sick or praying for someone who is suffering, your heart becomes afflicted, like it hurts, and your prayer oftentimes is more powerful. You know, I can remember my friend Adam, he had two organ transplants about maybe 10 days ago, give or take, 2 weeks ago. He had two organs. He had a pancreas and a kidney put in. And throughout the years, for like 20 years, we've been praying for him because his body's been breaking down. He had juvenile diabetes, and we've been praying for him, and it's been falling apart. There's a God, he's too young. God, he loves you. God, he's not perfect, but he's trying. And every time I prayed for him, it's like my heart was afflicted. And so what I want to ask you guys, like as we come to this season of 21 days of prayer, if you're not afflicted, like if you can pray for lost people and your heart isn't broken by that, talk to God about that. Say, God, why is my heart so cold? If you can pray for the kids ministry, like there's got to be some people in this church that when you pray for the kids ministry, like you get, your heart just breaks, that you look at these little kids that have so much to fight and battle because the world is so crazy now, that when you pray for that kids ministry, it's like coming from the depths of your heart saying, God, bless these kids, the workers with these kids, give them wisdom. Like it has to come from that place. And if you don't have that in your heart, well, then that's where you start. You might want to say, God, you know, why am I so cold today? Why is my heart so far away from you? Well, why am I like distracted now during prayer? And maybe you'll get through that. Let's go down to verse 41, please. So it's talking about the whole context of the prayer, and we don't have time to read through it. It's different groups of people praying when they're in need and God answering. And in verse 41, he lists up another type of people. He says, likewise, Lord, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards this house, verse 43, hear in heaven that your dwelling in your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls you, in order that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know this, the house that I have built is called by your name. Verse 43, put the beginning part of verse 43 up here. It says that in order that all the peoples of the earth may know. When you're not praying a selfish prayer, but when you're saying, God, for your own sake, for the sake of your name, work in this church, work in my marriage. God, my marriage is falling apart, but for the sake of your name, work in this marriage. When you pray prayers that are geared towards giving God glory, there's power in that. There's power in that. So I covered a few different things, and I know I kind of went quickly. But I want to end with verse 46. It says, if they sin against you, for there's no one who does not sin, and you're angry with them, and you give them over to an enemy so that they're carried away captive to the land of the enemy, yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and acted perversely and wickedly, if they repent with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of the enemies who carried them captive, and they pray to you in their land, which you gave to their fathers, for the city that you've chosen and the house that I built verse 49, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer, and maintain their cause. Verse 50, and forgive those who sinned against you and all their transgressions they've committed, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who've carried them away. So Solomon is setting up this idea that the temple, or the place of prayer, should be a place of mercy, a place where sins are passed over. I found in my own life, when it's hard for me to pray, it's because there's sin in my heart. And so if I sit down to pray for you, and I can't really do it, or it doesn't feel like it's working, or I just can't feel like I'm saying anything of value, often I look at my heart and I realize what's holding me back is my own, and saying, God, you know what, I've had a bad attitude at home, or I've had a bad attitude at work, or whatever it is. But during this time of 21 days of prayer, if you sit down and you begin to praise God, I think your faith is going to be built up and your prayers are going to be better. If you sit down to pray and you remember the promises of God, the promise that he promised to hear us and forgive us and heal us and save us, and remembering God's specific promises out of the scripture. If you think about your posture, this is such an important thing, guys. When we pray, find something that works. For some of you, it might be walking around. For some of you, it might just be sitting. For some of you, it should be kneeling. And there's probably somebody in this room that would be good for your soul to get on your face before God and just say, God, have mercy. Your posture matters. And then also our own sin. The best thing about 21 days of prayer that I think is that it forces us all to sit before God. And when we sit before God and before his word, very often our sin becomes very clear. And it's a great time to get forgiveness. So come at 10 o'clock next Sunday. We're going to start 21 days of prayer. We'll have some things, some paperwork, some directions, so you can kind of see how we're praying over the next 3 weeks. We'll have some time of prayer that will be virtually in the morning. So for some of you guys, we won't be meeting together in the morning physically, but we'll have a Zoom call that anybody who wants to jump on can be a part of that. And then on the weekends, we'll pray here. When churches can do this right, two things are going to happen. Our own hearts will get right, and God will begin to bless the church. And I'm excited for both of those things. And I hope that you guys would read that whole chapter of 1 Kings 8. It's a beautiful prayer that Solomon prayed, and you might get more out of that than I just shared, because I could just touch the surface, but there's a lot in there. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your eyes? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to pray. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name that you hear from heaven. I praise your name that you're the healer, you're the savior, you're the deliverer. God, I praise your name. You're the covenant keeper. I thank you for your promises. You promised that you'd never leave or forsake us. You promised that if we heard and turned to you and sought your face, that we'd find you. I thank you for your promises, Lord. God, show us how to be effective in our prayers. Guide us in this season of prayer, Lord God. And I pray that every single heart that participates in prayer, God, that we would be changed. That this would be a season, God, where our hearts grow, where our faith grows, where our knowledge of you grows, God, and where our relationship with you grows. God, that we would not be the same, but we would be transformed by the power of your name and for your glory, God, for the sake of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, I'm Bob.